The following is provided through the IAAIS Program Share Service.
Hello and welcome to this week's World Traveler. I'm Leah Blackman with the Virginia Voice. Our first article is from Booked, A Traveler's Guide to Literary Location. A cafe is a state of mind. The novels of Roberto Bolaño, Mexico City, Mexico. In 2007, 4 years after his death from liver failure at the age of 50, Roberto Bolaño skyrocketed to literary fame with the publication in English of his sprawling road trip story, The Savage Detectives, which first came out in Spanish in 1999. The next year brought 2666, the even more imposing 20th century epic of murder, breakdown, and degeneration. Born in Bolivia, Bolaño moved with his family to Mexico City in 1968. As a teenager, he dropped out of school and took up poetry and left-wing journalism. The home his family occupied still stands. It's now occupied by a different family. Interviewed by a local journalist in 2013, they not only didn't know that Roberto Bolaño had once lived in the house, they had no idea who he was. While many places in Bolaño's labyrinthine works can't be tracked to real-life antecedents, an exception is the legendary Café La Habana, thinly disguised in The Savage Detectives as Café Quito, a frequent meeting place for poets and other countercultural loiterers. Established in the early 1950s on a corner of Calle Bucareli, tucked into the voguish Colonia Juarez near the historical city center, Café Quito's Formica countertops have over the years propped up the coffee cups and notebooks of writers like Octavio Paz and Gabriel Garcia Marquez. In the mid-1950s, expat rebels like Fidel Castro and Che Guevara supposedly frequented the café while planning the Cuban Revolution. Café Quito is still there, a relatively untouched remnant of bygone days, and a vibrant forum for the capital's cultural scene. In 2017, it played host to a unique literary tribute by the American singer Patti Smith. 5 years earlier, she had written a long poem called Hecatomb, based on the slaughter of 100 oxen in Bolaño's novel Amulet. For Café La Habana sessions, Smith's two-week artist residency performance at the storied Mexico City establishment, she read from Hecatomb and performed some of her songs while surrounded by photographs she had taken over the years, including one of Roberto Bolaño's writing chair at his final home in Blanes on the Catalonian coast. Smith's La Habana project, according to the organizer, local art exhibition space Sonora 128, was inspired by the idea, an idea with which Bolaño undoubtedly would have agreed, that a cafe is not a place, but a state of mind. That was A Cafe is a State of Mind, the novels of Roberto Bolaño. Our next article is from winwin.coffee, June 29th, 2023. Brewed Words, Exploring the Influence of Coffee in Famous Literary Works. Coffee, the beloved beverage that has captured the hearts and minds of millions around the world, has also found its way into the pages of literature. Throughout the centuries, countless authors have incorporated coffee into their works, using it as a tool to enhance characterization, evoke atmosphere, and convey social and cultural context. In this blog, we will delve into the fascinating world of coffee in literature, exploring its significance and uncovering its various roles in some of the most famous books in literary history. coffee as a social lubricant. Coffee houses, known as the penny universities in the 17th and 18th centuries, were the meeting places for intellectuals, writers, and artists. These establishments served as hubs of intellectual and cultural exchange, where people gathered to discuss ideas, politics, and literature. Coffee became synonymous with social interaction, intellectual stimulation, and the exchange of knowledge. A prime example of this is Samuel Pepys' diary entries, where he frequently documents his visits to coffee houses and his conversations with fellow coffee enthusiasts. Coffee as a symbol of enlightenment. In the Age of Enlightenment, coffee was often associated with the pursuit of knowledge and intellectual enlightenment. This symbolism is evident in Voltaire's Candide, where the protagonist and his companions seek enlightenment and engage in philosophical discussions over cups of coffee. Coffee catalyzes their intellectual growth and symbolizes the Enlightenment ideals of reason and progress. Coffee as a companion for creativity. Many writers have turned to coffee as a creative stimulant and a faithful companion during their writing endeavors. Honoré de Balzac, a prolific French novelist, famously consumed numerous cups of coffee while writing his masterpieces. In his work, The Pleasure and Pains of Coffee, Balzac extols the virtues of coffee and describes its ability to enhance mental focus and inspire creativity. Other notable writers who found solace in coffee include Johann Sebastian Bach, who composed the Coffee Cantata as a tribute to his beloved beverage. Coffee as a catalyst for romantic encounters. Coffee has often been intertwined with romance and literature. It has been depicted as a catalyst for chance encounters, passionate conversations, and even love affairs. In Fyodor Dostoevsky's Crime and Punishment, the protagonist encounters Sonia in a coffee house, marking the beginning of their complex and profound relationship. Coffee houses, with their cozy ambiance and warm brew, have been portrayed as ideal settings for intimate conversations and the blossoming of romance. Coffee as a cultural marker. Coffee's presence in literature can also shed light on the cultural context of different periods and regions. For example, in Gabriel Garcia Marquez's 100 Years of Solitude, coffee symbolizes the economic and social transformation of the fictional town of Macondo, reflecting the influence of the coffee industry on Latin American societies. Coffee as a ritual. In many books, coffee rituals are depicted as a significant part of the character's daily lives. From the meticulous preparation of the brew to the savoring of each sip, the act of making and consuming coffee becomes a ritualistic experience. This is beautifully illustrated in The Coffee Trader by David Liss, where the protagonist's passion for coffee extends beyond its taste, becoming a ritual that grounds him in the chaos of 17th century Amsterdam. Coffee, with its rich history and complex cultural significance, has found its way into the world of literature. Through its various roles in famous books, coffee has been used to convey social dynamics, intellectual pursuits, creativity, romance, cultural markers, and ritualistic experiences. It serves as a powerful literary device that adds depth and authenticity to the stories and characters created by authors. That was Brewed Words, Exploring the Influence of Coffee in Famous Literary Works. Next, we travel to literary cafes around the world. From etias.com, Around the World in Iconic Literary Cafes. Do your days consist of getting lost in a good book? Or are you an inspiring writer who studies the great authors before you? Whichever side you land on, book lovers flock to literary cafes, following novelists from classics like Hemingway or Fitzgerald to the famous J.K. Rowling to their favorite cafes. Each literary cafe is unique in its outer characteristic. Yet there's one thing creatives or authors who frequent these cafes all have in common: a love for the written word. From Argentina to France, iconic literary cafes can be found in countries all over the world. With this route, you'll know exactly where to look to get inspired. Whether you identify with the countercultural Beat Generation authors or love to get lost in a fantasy novel like Lord of the Rings, explore what makes these literary cafes iconic. The Eagle and Child, where Oxford, England, where Lord of the Rings was written. Regulars, J.R.R. Tolkien, C.S. Lewis, the Inklings Literary Group. In the 1930s, J.R.R. Tolkien, C.S. Lewis, and the rest of their writers group, the Inklings, held weekly lunches here to discuss their writing and ideas. The group would meet in the private lounge they called the Rabbit Room and explore fantasy ideas around wizards and hobbits. At the time, Lewis was crafting his space trilogy, comprising Out of the Silent Planet, Perelandra, and That Hideous Strength, and Tolkien was writing the Lord of the Rings series. The cafe now displays pictures and prints from these widely popular novels. The Elephant House, Edinburgh, Scotland. The Elephant House, where J.K. Rowling started the first Harry Potter novel. Regulars, J.K. Rowling, Ian Rankin, Alexander McCall Smith. Located on the George IV Bridge Walkway, the Elephant House was established in 1995. It's now esteemed as one of the most popular tea and coffee houses in Edinburgh. Elephant House was made famous by J.K. Rowling, where early on in her career, she frequented the cafe for inspiration. Rowling even wrote the majority of her first novel, Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone, at this iconic cafe. It's no surprise why writers come here to get inspired. If you're sitting in front of a big window seat, you can peer out to a stunning view of Edinburgh Castle. La Closerie des Lilas, Paris, France. Ernest Hemingway's Home Away from Home. Regulars, Charles Baudelaire, Théophile Gautier, F. Scott Fitzgerald. Considered to be Ernest Hemingway's Home Away from Home, La Closerie des Lilas perfectly encapsulates the charm and artistic flair of Montparnasse, Paris. Hemingway would visit regularly to write, and it was the first place he read his friend Fitzgerald's manuscript, The Great Gatsby. Famous writers and poets would flock to meet here for regular Tuesday poetry readings. The cafe attracted many American expats like Hemingway, Gertrude Stein, and John Dos Passos. Other famous regulars include Ezra Pound, Théophile Gautier, Oscar Wilde, Charles Baudelaire, and more. James Joyce even chose to celebrate here when he found out the news that his controversial novel, Ulysses, would be published by a major publisher. Les Deux Magots, Paris, France. Awards the Deux Magots Literary Prize. Regulars, Simone de Beauvoir, Jean Giraudoux, Jean-Paul Sartre. One of the oldest cafes in the Saint-Germain-des-Prés area of Paris, Les Deux Magots, which translates to Two Chinese Figurines, was once a popular hub for literary intellectuals. Now a popular destination for tourists, it still attracts artists, poets, and writers from all around the world. The cafe coined its own literary award, the Prix des Deux Magots. It's been awarded to a new or unconventional French novel every year since 1933. Great writers such as James Baldwin, Chester Himes, Richard Wright, Simone de Beauvoir, Jean Giraudoux and Jean-Paul Sartre spent time there. La Rotonde, Paris, France. Meeting spot for writers during the interwar period. Regulars: F. Scott Fitzgerald, Ernest Hemingway, Gertrude Stein, T.S. Eliot. This legendary cafe was popular among writers, sculptors, painters, poets, and composers. Famed authors like Ernest Hemingway, F. Scott Fitzgerald, Gertrude Stein, and T.S. Eliot frequented La Rotonde. It boasts traditional French food, a warm atmosphere, and stunning decor. During the war periods, La Rotonde was known for welcoming starving artists by holding the artist's work as collateral and then graciously returning it when they were able to pay their bill. Ernest Hemingway says it's best in it referenced in his novel, The Sun Also Rises. No matter what cafe in Montparnasse you ask a taxi driver to bring you to, they always take you to the Rotonde. Antico Cafe Greco, Rome, Italy. Oldest cafe in Rome. Regulars: John Keats, Lord Byron, Percy Shelley, Giacomo Casanova. If you're looking for a cozy corner on a busy street to curl up with a good book, look no further. Antico Cafe Greco in Rome is an idyllic 250-year-old cafe in the Eternal City that attracted politicians, literary geniuses, artists, and philosophers. Famous authors such as Lord Byron, Johann Wolfgang von Goethe, Henri Ibsen, Percy Shelley, Hans Christian Andersen, and John Keats have all spent time in this iconic location. Literaturno Cafe, St. Petersburg, Russia, has a wax figure of literary legend Alexander Pushkin. Regulars: Nikolai Chernyshevsky, Fyodor Dostoevsky, Taras Shevchenko. In the heart of the cultural capital of Russia, you wouldn't want to miss a visit to Literaturno Cafe, which literally translates to the Literary Cafe. Established in 1813, it's been quoted as a favorite cafe of famous Russian writers, such as Nikolai Chernyshevsky and Fyodor Dostoevsky. It's also rumored that the cafe was well-known Russian poet Alexander Pushkin's last stop and meal in 1837, before dying in a duel. Inside the cafe, you'll find a wax figure in remembrance of Alexander Pushkin sitting at a table by the window. Cafe Tortoni, Buenos Aires, Argentina, opened in the 1850s. Regulars: Jorge Luis Borges, Alfonsino Storni, and Carlos Gardel. This beautiful Argentinian cafe is a favorite of author Jorge Luis Borges, who wrote some of his famous work here. It's situated cozily in the shade of 200-year-old trees and is loved for its unique ambiance. Modernist poet Alfonsino Storni was also a frequent visitor in the 1970s. You may be surprised to find wax figure forms of legends Borges and Carlos Gardel sitting at their favorite table. Vesuvio Cafe, San Francisco. Popular hangout for beat generation writers. Regulars: Jack Kerouac, Henry Miller, Neil Cassidy, and Allen Ginsberg. Located across the alley from Lawrence Ferlinghetti's City Lights Bookstore, the funky Vesuvio Cafe was established in 1948. It's now a historical spot known for literature, jazz, and art. It served as a spot for authors of the Beat Generation in the 1950s, a literary movement whose work experimented with explicit subject matter like sex, drugs, and hedonism. Famous poet and novelist Jack Kerouac was a leading figure for this movement, while other well-known writers, such as Henry Miller, spent time at the Vesuvio Cafe. It remains a destination for visitors from all over the world. Cafe Reggio, New York City, served the first cappuccino in America. Regulars, Jack Kerouac, Gregory Corso, Allen Ginsberg. The oldest cafe in New York City, Cafe Reggio, was founded in 1927 and claims to be the first coffee shop to serve cappuccino in America. Aside from serving up a delicious cup of joe, it's a popular spot in Greenwich Village for writers, art connoisseurs, and history buffs alike. It served as the backdrop for fictional bohemians in the movie Inside Llewellyn Davis, and was a favorite location for many of the Beat Generation writers, such as Jack Kerouac and Gregory Corso. Today, you'll likely find NYU students and professors hanging out. That was Around the World in Iconic Literary Cafes, March 16th, 2020. Our next article is from AtlasObscura.com. Literary cafes, pubs, and restaurants to feed your muse. Writers need to eat and drink too. While history's most famous authors wrote immortal words, they themselves were mortal and often in need of coffee and a sandwich, or perhaps a pint and a sympathetic bartender. Over time, some of their watering holes have taken on a bit of reflected glory, with plaques, tours, and memorabilia attracting modern bookworms. Whether patronized by writers or inspired by literature, here are some bars and restaurants to fuel your imagination. The Steinbeck House Restaurant, Salinas, California. Eat a tasty meal in the house where John Steinbeck was born. To the readers of John Steinbeck, author of East of Eden, The Grapes of Wrath, and The Red Pony, the city of Salinas, California might seem mighty familiar. The surrounding area still largely resembles the landscape from his books, and the National Steinbeck Center in downtown Salinas is a testament to his work. But if your foray into Steinbeck country leaves you hungry, a restaurant in the author's childhood home can provide some sustenance. In a glorious Queen Anne-style house, volunteers from the local Valley Guild run the Steinbeck House Restaurant. The house, both Steinbeck's birthplace and childhood home, is cozily decorated like a vintage tea room, with tablecloths and china on the tables scattered throughout the rooms of the house. Originally, the Valley Guild shared a common interest in gourmet cooking and wanted to showcase Salinas Valley produce. And the group has also maintained the historical house since the restaurant opened in 1974. The restaurant generally serves lunch, with dinner served the first Friday of the month. The rather vintage French-inspired menu changes every few days, with updated schedules posted on their website. There's also regular Saturday afternoon teas for those who want some scones with their Steinbeck. Bimmelman's Bar, Manhattan, New York. The walls are decorated with whimsical murals painted by the creator of the Madeleine franchise. In a bar in Manhattan that is covered in art lives the last public place Ludwig Bimmelman's whimsy plays a big part. The story of the feisty literary heroine Madeleine begins in Paris, but the girl with the red hair and big yellow hat travels all around the world in the books written and illustrated by Ludwig Bimmelmans. Much like his most famous character, Bimmelmans' life began in Europe, in the Austrian Tyrol, but he emigrated to the United States when he was nearly 20 years old. After working in the hotel industry and serving in the army, he began writing and illustrating books for children. He found huge success with his Madeleine series, the first book of which came out in 1939. He went on to write 5 books about the spunky 7-year-old and her adventures, and also produced popular artwork for publications like The New Yorker and Vogue. In the 1940s, Bemelmans took on a commission that combined two of his passions, hotels and painting. He was contracted to decorate the new bar that was built in the Carlyle, a luxury hotel in Manhattan's Upper East Side. For this, he was paid not in cash, but received free board for himself and his family for a year and a half, the duration it took for the wall murals to be completed. The dull yellow of the walls is enlivened by elephants, rabbits, and other animals frolicking around Central Park, all painted in Bemelmans' trademark style. Madeline and her friends can also be spotted, alongside other typical park scenes, like dogs sprinting with their owners and nurses taking babies for a stroll. The simplicity of the wall art is contrasted by the more luxurious Art Deco interiors of the bar. The ceilings are coated in gold leaf, and leather banquettes line the walls, placed near glass-topped tables. The whimsical artwork adds to the New York City Piano Bar's quiet appeal, and it is the only remaining place where Bemelmans work that is open to the public. That's all there is, and there isn't any more. My Brother's Bar, Denver, Colorado. Neal Cassady may have still an open tab at one of Denver's oldest watering holes. Beat icon Cassady may still have an opening tab at the bar on Platt and 15th Street in Denver. A copy of a letter he penned to an unknown associate in 1944, while serving time in the Colorado State Reformatory for stealing cars, is framed by the bathrooms. It reads, "I frequented the place occasionally and consequently still have a small bill run up. I believe I owe them about $3 or $4. If you happen to be in that vicinity, please drop in and pay it, will you?" Although it has changed names from Paul's Place to My Brother's Bar, visitors can belly up to the same bar where Cassady, Jack Kerouac, and Allen Ginsberg were once regulars. Being one of the oldest bars in Denver, My Brother's Bar is a bit of a Luddite, doing its best, it seems, to keep itself in the beat years. There are no televisions, the till is analog, and Wi-Fi was only a recent addition. It's not hard to imagine dust-coated, gun-toting cowboys shouldering open batwing doors back in the 1870s, when a bar first opened on the premises. The bar comes by its grit naturally. There's not even a sign out front. The former owners, brothers Jim and Angelo Caragas, couldn't afford one when they bought it in 1970. The current name stems from an ongoing joke, whereby a bill collector would come by the bar to collect debts, and either one of the Caragas brothers would say, "Take it to my brother. He owns the place." We will finish this article next week. That's all of our program for today. I'm Leah Blackman for the Virginia Voice. You can listen to this program on demand anytime at www.virginiavoice.org.